Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As we promised, you will hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. Let's head to NRG now to hear him speaking to the media.
One of the most difficult players to deal with in the NFL.
Christian McCaffrey is by far one of the best players in the NFL. Like what he's done in the game, I think, and I know for sure he has the respect of every player that's played against him, and also just respect from the offensive players. Like he's a tremendous athlete. I mean, physically gifted, talented player in all respects, not just running the football, but also as a receiving running back. He's one of the best that we've seen. So, and that'll be their main focus, and that's their main game plan, rightfully so, because he's such a dynamic player, and he changes the game for them offensively. And not just what he does, but where he's able to align. And Kyle has done a really nice job of moving him around in a lot of different spots where he's not just aligning in the running back position. He can line up at receiver. He can line up all over the place. So, the game plan is we have to have eyes for Christian McCaffrey, knowing that he's going to get the bulk of the touches because he's their top playmaker.
Do you think having him has helped Mac Jones be successful despite Purdy's injury?
For sure. Anytime you have Christian McCaffrey, he helps any quarterback, right? Because he's a friendly target in the passing game. He has really great hands, catches the ball well, and he's also a really dynamic runner. He runs the ball tremendously hard. He understands the scheme. He understands how to press blocks. He knows how to set it up. He knows when to cut back. Just all around, really one of the smartest players I've been around, and that's one of the most reliable guys as well.
D'Amico, when it comes to the receiver position with Nico and Christian still sidelined, what do you think of the other guys and kind of their opportunities?
Whoever gets the opportunity at receiver, it's got to step up and play. That's what the NFL is about. Unfortunately, injuries happen all throughout the league. Whoever gets that opportunity, step up, make the most of it. And, you go out and just – you excel by just doing what you're supposed to do. So whoever is called to do that and, to take that role, they'll do a tremendous job.
What did you learn from Robert Saleh when you worked with him there?
And working with Saleh was truly a blessing. Just from the standpoint of a young guy like myself coming into coaching, think you know a lot about playing ball and you think you know a lot about coaching, but working with Robert, he truly showed me like what it takes to coach and the detail, the fine details, the small things that it takes as a coach, how you have to be deliberate in your preparation. Like How are you saying things to players, not just, you know, not just relaying a lot of information to them, but how are you truly teaching it? How do you understand each guy in your room? How do you teach it different? Some guys may need more walkthrough, or some guys you can tell them one time, some guys need to write it down. So Robert Saleh, he taught me all of that, of what it takes to be a good coach, and I'm so blessed and thankful to have learned under him, because he's such a meticulous, like, detailed person, not just in coaching, but just in life. And I've learned a lot from him, and I'm thankful for all the things that he's taught me, right? And it's the reason why I'm here right now, because he spent the time to teach me those things. And not just Robert Saleh, him being a D coordinator, but I can't mention him without mentioning Johnny Holland, a linebacker coach there who allowed me to teach in the room. He gave me the leeway to lead, and he taught me, allowed me to make mistakes along the way, allowed me to grow and develop under him. So, you know, I'm thankful for both of those guys. And then would be remiss not to mention Kyle Shanahan, right, for what he's done for me in my career. I remember sitting down in his office one day, and he told me, like, dude, you can be a head coach in this league, right? And I was kind of, you know, shocked by it, because no one had ever said that to me before. But it just shows, like, Kyle is such a great person, loving person. Love him and his wife. They're great friends of ours. They do it the right way. Ton of respect for Kyle and what he's done, what he's taught me throughout my career. I can't thank him enough, you know, for that, and just believing in me. Right, when nobody else knew me, know about me and coaching, Kyle was the guy who believed in me. And it just shows, like, man, you speak life into people. Like, your words mean a lot, and what he said to me, and to see it come true now, it means a lot to me. And just always, for me, that's what I'm always doing, just trying to speak life into people, speak life into others, be positive about attacking each and every day.
You're listening to D'Amico Ryan live on the Drive.
Did he elaborate really on what he loved about you at that time? And aside from being shocked, do you remember what was going on through your head as he's telling you this?
And when he told me, I was just, you know, just like, okay, you know, you think he's just saying it just to say it. But he truly meant it. I guess he was encouraged by the way that I worked and how I went about my business. Right? And that's just, for me, I like to work behind the scenes. And just, I was trying to find a way to make sure my linebackers played the best in the NFL. That was all I was concerned about. I wasn't concerned about climbing a ladder or accolades or money. I wasn't concerned about that. I was just concerned at owning the little things that I had control over, and that was just coaching my small group, making sure they knew what to do, making sure they did it the best in the league.
Do you watch the Niners offense now on film? Have they evolved or changed much from when you were there?
Yeah, the Niners, they consistently evolve. That's why Kyle is such a good play caller. Right, he's can do multiple plays or similar plays that other people around the league do, and they run, but nobody's going to put the spin on it like Kyle does. The way he motions McCaffrey, or the way he motions Juice as the fullback position, who can line up anywhere as well. He really stresses defenses. He stresses your communication, and you really have to be on it. Right, if not, the guy's motion so fast in a blink of an eye, if you're not on it and you're not sound in what you're doing, you can get exposed very quickly. So he has continued to evolve, and you see that on tape this year as well. And no matter who he has, you know, at that receiver position, tight end, back, he finds a way. Right, and even the quarterback position now, seeing Mac Jones there, Mac is doing a great job of just running the offense, being disciplined with his reads, knowing exactly where the ball is supposed to go.
You talked about Robert Saleh. Talk about what challenges his defense presents. I know you faced him since you've been here, but just what they're doing with the 49ers defensively.
The 49ers, what Robert has brought to that defense, he's brought some consistency. Even though he has a really young group, he has those guys playing the right way. They're going to play hard. They're going to finish. They're attacking the ball. They're all about the right stuff. Right, they're going to play with tremendous effort. And you see a young group on tape who's consistently gotten better from the first game of the season to now. You see just his stamp on it. And that's about being on the details and the small things. They're getting better. They're going to play hard. They're going to be where they're supposed to be. It won't be many surprises. You're going to have to outwork them. They're going to try to eliminate explosive plays, and we got to do a great job of just driving the field on them.
When it comes to all elements of the protection, not just the O-line, but everything, how much of it is
before the snap and making sure everything's right before the snap versus just executing once the ball is snapped?
When it comes to protection, right, it is an all-11 thing. Of course, it's pre-snap communication, but things change post-snap. That's what football is about. It's about how do you adapt and adjust when you have, as I call, moving pictures. Guys are going to move around. You're not just going to always line up and show the offense what you're running, per se, on defense. So the communication is set. Now you just have adjustments, and there may be, you know, communication before the snap, but it's just about adjusting, adapting fast, and making sure everybody's on the same page, and also making sure the quarterback receivers are on the same page as well. I know a lot where protection goes to the O-line, and that's what, you know, everybody sees it is the O-line, but it's everybody. Like, if we have to get the ball out because we're hot, we got to get the ball out. We got to find our hot answers. If we have a hot route, we got to make sure we're running the route the right way. So it's all encompassing. It's easy to just say, oh, the O-line didn't pick this up, but it's everybody has to be on the details.
CJ's taking a lot more responsibility, or was given to him, at least at the line, to identify that pressure. How do you think he's doing pre-snap and identifying pressures and audibles and such?
Yeah, it's not from a matter of identifying what we're doing with the pressure. I think we're identifying it well. It's just how are we executing after the ball is snapped. That's the main thing.
You mentioned that you're seeing things in games that you're not practicing. And do you understand why that's happening? And how to get this fixed?
Yeah, I'm figuring it out why things are happening. It's always baffling as a coach when you go through and you practice a certain thing and you work it a certain way and guys get in the game and do something completely different. Well, that's being disjointed. Like, we got to be on the same page, and not on the same page. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We just got to do what we called. We got to run what we call. Right? The techniques we work, the things we establish throughout training camp, we got to do that, right? And when we do that, you'll see we operate efficiently. We are able to be in the right spot defensively, special teams-wise. We're able to get our blocks done the right way when we just execute what we practice all week, right? You can't get in a game. So I told our guys today, you can't get in a game and overcomplicate football. I know football can be a complex game within a game, but to me, football is simple. And you make it simple, you keep it simple, and allow guys to go play fast, all right? And that's what we've done, but we don't need to make things up. We don't need to try to do something or press and make a play. Just be like, we just have to stay with what we've been coached to do. Do it the right way every single time. When I say it's one snap at a time, that's what I truly mean. It's not, oh, I need to make this big play. You need to focus in one snap at a time. Do exactly what you're coached to do. When we do that, we play well. When we get outside of that and we try to do more, that's when we don't play well. So it's not complicated to play this game. We don't need to make it that way. Let's play fast and let's play fun.
You're listening to head coach DeMeco Ryans live on the drive.
How important will these next three games be just to kind of get you guys back on the track that you guys want to go?
Yeah, for me, I really don't care about the three games. Like, it's all about the Niners. And it's not about getting on track. It's about the Niners and playing – how we need to play to go play well versus the Niners. I really don't care about the home stretch and all. Like, can we focus on one play at a time? I really don't even care about the game versus it's one play at a time. Be locked in. Do what you're supposed to do.
You said a few times that you're one possession away. What can you do? What can you change in order to close that gap? And considering that the trade deadline is less than 2 weeks away, where do you stand as far as maybe making a move or moves that could help you get over that hump?
Yeah, games, all games in the NFL, or most of the games are one possession games, 8 points or less. And you look back at the history of it, since I've been here, we've been in, I think it's over like 25 of those games in the past 3 years. So it's truly one possession games that we've been in. We're close a lot in games. Games are close. That's why the NFL is a fun league, because the games are close. Now, you have to go back to what I said earlier. It's just do your job. One play is not just because it's a one possession game, I need to make something up and do something different than I'm coached to do. You just got to execute one play. It gets boring. You hear execute it, and I get it. Everybody don't want to hear it, but that's what the game comes down to. It's taking advantage of guys who don't execute. When you take advantage of them, guys in a bad spot, that's when you make a play. When you don't make things up.
Specifically about Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, if they have to have increased roles, what do you want and hope to see from them?
I just want to see Higgins and Noel do what they what they've done. And that's just be the guys they are. They don't have to do anything extra, right? If their roles are increased, great. It means more opportunities for those guys to make plays. But they don't have to go out and be someone else. They just need to be themselves and be the guys who we saw at Iowa State make play after play after play just because they did it the right way. So that's what they have to go do.
On Nico, how much of what happens up front, let's say in the line of scrimmage, is one side is controlling the line of scrimmage? How much of that is technique versus talent?
Ooh, that's a great question, Cam. A ton of it, I believe, truly a ton of it up front has to do with technique. Right? And of course, you want to be the most talented group. You want to have the most talented guy possible. But I've seen guys of all who came in the offensive line from all different, whether it's undrafted all the way to first rounder. It's just about really that group is really about the details and the communication and being tied together, playing together. That is the bulk of it, whoever steps out there. I've seen people win games with backup offensive linemen, seen them win with starting, like, but it doesn't change. You're working in a small space. You got to be on it. Things happen quickly. You got to be able to react very quickly up front and just be where you're supposed to be, putting your hat in the right place, shooting your hands when you need to shoot your hands, like playing with great footwork, good knee bend. When you play with low pads, you have a chance to be successful up front. If you do something erratic and you're out of position or you're playing too wide, now you're just susceptible to a lot of inside movements, which we can do a better job of here, is just protecting more inside out.
We'll go Christy to Will on something.
Obviously, Will Anderson came in for you guys and had an immediate impact. What have you seen from him that has allowed him to keep growing and keep developing, you know, week after week, despite that early success?
For Will Anderson, the thing that sets him apart from most guys I've been around is, I mean, when I talk about a relentless intensity and pursuit for your goals, like, he is the epitome of that. It's like, I don't see anyone working as hard as this guy. I don't see anyone who it means so much to him, like, to see not himself only just succeed, but to see our team succeed. Like, it means a lot to him. He's very passionate about it, and he's not just passionate on Sunday. Like, he's out there today in our walkthrough, passionate about what he's doing. So when you have that type of mindset that Will operates with, and he's out there early working with Coach Rod and working on techniques on how he can improve in every single facet of his game, when you put that much attention to what you're doing and you want to get better, you'll get better.
When you look at your offense, how do you define its identity? What is it to you?
The identity of our offense is, at the end of the day, to me, Will, identity of offensive football is move the ball. It doesn't matter. People want, oh, we're run first, pass first. It doesn't matter. Like, if you get 4 yards, you get 4 yards. It's that throwing the ball, passing the ball, and offense just has to be efficient. And that's what it has to be. Right, when we played versus the Titans and versus the Ravens, what was our identity? We moved the football because we were efficient. We stayed on track. It didn't matter if we ran the ball or we threw the ball. Short passes, it didn't matter. Like, that's what offensive football is about, right? And that's what, you know, the team we're playing this week and watching these guys on tape, what's their identity, right? They move the football. Like, they find ways to get the ball out. They run the ball well. They throw the ball quick, getting out of the quarterback's hands very well, and they're efficient in what they're doing.
What makes George Kittle a difference maker for the 49ers, and what are the different ways that he can kind of affect the game?
George is a difference maker because when it comes to tight ends, you think about him in a passing game, and he is an explosive pass player. But what he does at the line of scrimmage, like, he's very tough, physical at the line of scrimmage, does a really good job of blocking. That's what makes George a really good player, being able to do both and do both really well.
Last one.
Coach, it looked like the last game that when you all had some mistakes, it was because on the offensive side of the ball that the play clock kept running down. It looked like that CJ was rushing the play. How do you as an offense execute getting to the line quicker, running the play faster, being more efficient?
Yeah, sir. I didn't feel like we were up against the clock versus Seattle. I didn't feel like that was the issue. I felt like we got the plays in and we were at the line of scrimmage. We had a lot of tempo plays. So I didn't feel that we were up against the clock per se. You know, it's allow plays to play and, you know, communicate. I thought, felt like we communicated well in that environment. It wasn't getting to the line and it wasn't getting the calls in or calling it. That wasn't the issue offensively, right? Our issues were post-snap, doing what we were supposed to do post-snap, right? All right, thank you, guys.
All right, that was head coach D'Amico Ryans for the third straight day with the media. I see a lot of people giving their thoughts on YouTube, Twitch, the text line. Please continue to send those in as we continue. CJ Stroud a little bit later on. We've got a little stock up, stock down. You can send in your stock up, stock down. I feel like a lot of people may have changed their stock down following the last couple of days, but we'll do that coming up next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Dootski, come on.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
And tell them to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
That's right, and it is a Week 8 Houston Texans edition of Stock Up, Stock Down right here live on The Drive. Do it every hump day. Clint Sterner, we're on the show, Hughley, live with you here in H-Town. And the Texans, they got the 49ers coming to town. We just heard from head coach D'Amico Ryans as he held his Wednesday presser last segment. We'll be covering more of that later on. But stock up, stock down for these Texans. Got to imagine it's going to be hard to find some stock ups in my mind.
I damn near changed mine after that 18 minutes.
Almost called an audible, huh? But I want to start with you right there, real raw on the show, Hughley. I'm very curious about these stock ups. Because my mind can't find many. So stock up for you, Ron, for these Texans right now.
All right, stock up. And whose stock is going through the roof? Gerard Johnson. That is my stock up. The quarterback coach for the Houston Texans. Because everyone is so down on... Now, I want to be clear. I don't know that his stock up is deserved. But... everybody is so down on Nick Caley. I saw a petition to fire Nick Caley that had several hundred signatures on it. Many people are talking about he is, along with others, but he has been maybe the number one person, especially coming out of the Seattle game, that people are having issue with, and it's understandable with the way that offense has been. And Gerard Johnson's been here a couple of years. There were issues with Bobby Slowick. He became popular to maybe change things over with him. And now many people want to see a change. And I think, as Clint said, he's out. Multiple people said they're out. And the next logical person to take that role, if that would have happened, would be Gerard Johnson. So right now, people love them some Gerard Johnson. And if something were to happen as a change, D'Amico's a defensive coach, so he would start calling plays. I think it would be Gerard Johnson. So I go stock up Gerard Johnson.
I like it. Look, to your point, anybody below Nick Caley on this staff that may or may not be a good play caller, their stock is through the roof right now because Nick's is so low. So look, I don't disagree with you one bit, man. I think it's a good play, good call.
The former Aggie quarterback whose job was stolen by Ryan Tannehill. That is Ron, the show stock up for the Texans in Week 8. Over to you, Clint Sterner. Texans Week 8 preparing for the 49ers. Things are not looking great. What's your stock up for these Houston Texans, Clint?
My stock up is Jalen Noel, the wide receiver out of Iowa State, drafted this year. And to me, clearly has been the best draft pick this year. He was the third player picked in this year's draft for the Texans. But I think he is the best draft pick for the Texans this year, at least right now. Look, he had a nice little outing with a couple of catches and a touchdown against Baltimore when they were just spreading the ball around to everybody. And other than Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz, he's the one guy that I think this thing carried over into a game against a better defense in the Seattle Seahawks. He was able to go out there and get four catches for 77 yards. One of them was in a huge moment at the end of the first half to flip. After the blocked field goal, Seattle's fixing to extend their lead. We get the ball back, and we got a puncher's chance to get in field goal range. And who does it? Jalen Noel. He climbs the ladder, climbs up a defensive back, and goes and makes a catch. And so and he ended up with 4 for 77. I think this is real. I'll be honest with you. If these guys really want to win football games and not try to be the smartest guy in the room every week, Jalen Noel will be returning punts next week, and Jalen Noel will have an extended role on this offense next week as well, because he's not only productive, he was clutch. He was one of very few guys that have got this year that have gone up and made catches that weren't perfect throws that you would put in the boy, that was a great catch. The probability of catching that thing was low when the ball left his hand, right? And the guy went up there and climbed the ladder and got it. So yeah, the stock is up. It's never been higher for Jalen Noel than it is right now.
Now the fun part. We got them stock ups done with. This is The Drive. Sterner and Hughley doing a little stock up, stock down, as we do every Wednesday right around 3:25 p.m. Back to you, Ron. I want to know your stock down for these Houston Texans.
I'm keeping a theme from the first one. Tyler and Clint, my stock down is Cole Popovich. We were sold. I didn't believe it for one second, and you can go back and find the tape. I was skeptical the whole way of, hey, let's turn it over to the guy who was here last year when our offensive line sucked ass. Oh, let's turn it over to him and give him less talent as well. Let's do this. Let's give him a young left tackle, the seventh tackle in the draft. Let's put him at left tackle. But coming into the year, fellas, we were told how nasty he was, and his team was nasty from an offensive line perspective. And they were going to be more physical, and they're going to do the things that suit them well. And they got their ass kicked repeatedly by the Seattle Seahawks. They couldn't get a yard multiple times. They couldn't protect anybody. They ran the ball 15 times with running back. C.J. Stroud led the team in rushing with 25 yards. There was constant pressure. Anytime they played a team worth a damn, they get their ass kicked up front. And Cole Popovich, which I never thought would work, is the guy that everybody thought was going to be the man. This offensive line at this point feels worse than it was last year. So stock down to Cole Popman.
More than fair. More than fair.
I'm still waiting. I mean, they've told us it's fixable. Maybe it just takes a few more weeks. We'll see. Okay. Over to you, Clint. Put a cap on this thing for us. Your stock down for the Houston Texans heading into Week 8 against the 49ers.
Well, this one's easy for me, man. I think, as Ron said, there's plenty of choices. But I got to go with Derek Stingley Jr., man. Look, I mean, he got smoked out of the gate by the Arroyo, the young tight end. For Seattle, and it was exactly what we've heard D'Amico Ryans talk about, his eye discipline. He had his eyes in the backfield, and the wide and the tight end ran right by him vertically, which really he played a big role in Seattle's ability to go up 14-0, which puts us in a position of bad offense where you now got to play catch up versus a really good defensive front. So that was an absolute killer early, and Derek Stingley Jr. had a big part of that. And then just overall, you know, I think he was in shadow coverage throughout the game on a few occasions, and for Jaxon Smith-Njigba to really be the only, I like Cooper Kupp, but I think the name means more than the player right now, Jaxon Smith-Njigba to go off 8 for 23 and one touchdown, and if we're being honest, they threw it to him whenever the hell they wanted to. It was never difficult for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And so right now, you talk about games like Seattle, your superstars have to be superstars, and you can't afford Derek Stingley Jr. on the defensive side of the football to play the way he played, particularly early in that game, but really, if we're being honest, it wasn't a good game for him. Throughout the interception late was one of those again. What the hell are we doing? Kind of deals for Seattle's offense.
But even on that, then he gets a 15-yard penalty for taking his helmet off. Yeah. I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him lately. That's a good one. All right, let's go to C.J. Stroud. When we return, we will hear from the quarterback as he has his Wednesday press conference. That's coming.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back to The Drive. Let's head out back out to NRG. We heard from D'Amico Ryans earlier today at 3 o'clock. Let's head out now and hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, coming off the Monday night game as they get ready to play the 49ers. Here's C.J.
On track as an offense and doing that week in and week out, what do you think it's going to take to be able to get to that point?
Yeah, just practicing better, you know, having hard conversations, being better by each individual, just doing our job and making sure, you know, we're just all on the same page. You know, I think the effort's there, but now just execution needs to pick up.
How valuable is it for you to have a veteran like Dalton Schultz to rely on and to be on the field with you?
Yeah, he's super reliable, not only just on the field, but off the field. You know, somebody that I talk to about a lot of different things. And yeah, he's been great. He's been a brother to me and somebody that I'm, you know, just very grateful to have a teammate like him. And I think, you know, he had a great game on Monday, but he's, you know, looking good every week and just got to keep finding ways to get him the ball. But, yeah, it's been very helpful.
CJ, Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins might have to be counted on a little bit more this week. What do you hope to see from them if they are used more?
I mean, just really what they've been doing, you know, continue to show up and, you know, run great routes like they've been doing. I think whatever they do or they're doing in practice, which has been really good, is, you know, get it done in the game. So just taking the practice to the game, you know, the meetings to the practice, and I think that'll be a key recipe for them to have success on Sunday. But yeah, I'm in full faith with them, and I think, you know, they're ready, and, you know, I'm excited to see them roll.
Nico, how do you look at your offense? What's your identity? How do you define what your identity is on offense?
I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can say our identity is. I would say as a mindset thing, it's more physical. You know, point A to point B, going as fast as you can, you know, relentless swarm, everything Coach talks about schematically, you know. I think, you know, we're finding our area there where, you know, we're leaning somewhat on, you know, the run game being RPOs where, you know, then we can go big personnel. So it's a little bit of everything. But I think we're still finding that as time goes on. And I think it could always adjust, but I think, you know, we're finding it as weeks go on.
Intimated that some of the pressure could be alleviated with better operation execution of some of the hot routes, guys running the hot route, knowing when to throw the hot route. Do you kind of feel the same way?
Yes, and there's certain times where that is true, and then there's other times where, you know, we got to just stay with the mic and things like that. So it's both areas.
CJ, you found some success with maybe a little bit of misdirection and then rolling out away from that. What do you like about that, and what does that do to defenses?
Yes, just literally misdirection, trying to get them to think we're going this way and going the other. And it's just good, you know, to have a little bit of balance from, you know, running to the strong side every time or just running the ball. So it's a good spinoff.
What have you seen from the 49ers defense on film?
I know they've had some injuries, but they still, you know, great team. You know, I think, you know, their back end is really good. You know, their secondary is doing a really good job. I think up front, you know, they have a good D-line. And then, you know, the backers are, you know, it's hard to fill that role of Fred, but I think they're doing a good job of it. So we got to be on our A-game.
The Niners have a pretty similar scheme to D'Amico, since D'Amico saw it work together. How much is the fact that you've gone against D'Amico's scheme a bunch of times in practice, et cetera, how much does that help you guys going into a week like this where the scheme might be a little similar?
Yeah, I think it's very helpful, especially, you know, a short week. I think, you know, Sala does a good job, and, you know, him and D'Amico, like you said, work together. So there's some similarities there, you know, so I think it'll be helpful.
CJ, you've talked about, you know, this being a process for the offense, kind of getting better each week. When you look at that and you look at yourself, is there something that, without, you know, giving away any game plan, that you say, you know what, this is an area that I'm still trying to really conquer?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different things. I think, you know, like Monday for me, of course, wasn't my best outing. I don't think I played well, but to me, like, it really starts with preparation. I thought I prepared as best as I could for that game, and sometimes you go out there and lay an egg, but my confidence is high as ever. I have the most confidence not only in my team but in myself. You know, and I'm just going to continue to show up every game. And, you know, I think as time goes on, you start clicking more and more and more. You know, you can see when we were playing against Tennessee and Baltimore and then had the bye, came out. We had a really good week of practice, but sometimes that just happens. And so I think the focus for me is to stay confident in my process and my preparation and myself, you know. So I'm going to continue to do that, and I'm going to continue to get better in areas I need to get better in. But, yeah, there's things schematically as well, or footwork and different things like that I can always get better in as well.
Talk about this. Go ahead, Sam. You've
talked about how this offense kind of lives on death by a thousand cuts, being efficient on first and second down. When that doesn't work out, are there ways for this offense to succeed and kind of make up for that?
Yeah, we have to figure out. Hopefully that's the game plan, I think, for every team. If you ask them to do well on first, second down. And then that's where I think some of the playmaking abilities, you know, has to come out. And that's the thing in this offense is, like, every play just doing your job, even if it means gain of two. You know, it's like that's what we're being asked to do. That's what we're asked of. So that's something I'm still getting used to. But, yeah, I think, you know, like when that time comes, we got to find answers. And that's where, you know, when the ball is getting out for 2 yards, that's when I trust Hutch or one of the guys on the outside to make somebody miss and get eight, you know. So that's the type of offense we're living in. I think it's a good thing. But, yeah, those type of situations, you know, kind of test those rules. But the more you can stay on track is the better, you know, what we have when we play on Sundays.
You got time for a few more, Sarge?
CJ, we know that the copycat league and – a lot of teams like to run the same thing as far as defense against you all when they try to run the delay, you know, delay stunts and delay blitzes and things like that. From an offensive standpoint, especially from a quarterback standpoint, is there any way, anything that you could do to maybe help alleviate some of that when you, you know, as far as you and the offensive line is concerned, to be able to maybe identify that earlier?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things, cadence, motion, and then sometimes they just hit you and they get you. So, that's where you have the hots and you have built-ins to combat those as well. So, yeah, I think we have all those things in. It's just sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And I think the process is right. We got to continue to move forward and, you know, learn from our mistakes. But I definitely think we have those things in. And now it's just executing them.
All good.
When it comes with you mentioning the ways in which you guys can execute better, and Mika was saying that the post-snap has been something that you guys have been trying to focus in on and be a lot more clean with. What are you seeing that maybe is not ways in which you guys are executing post-snap that you want to clean up moving forward?
I mean, just there's multiple things I could say. I mean, probably the main thing, just communication pre-snap. Like, I think everything starts pre-snap. When the ball snaps, can take that communication and pushing it forward to – post snap and making it, you know, work, and that's execution in a nutshell. So, I think that's what we need to do.
All right, that was C.J. Stroud getting ready for the 49ers as they return home. A huge game for the Texans. Anything jump out to you from C.J.? A couple things for me.
Yeah, I mean, plenty jumped out. I mean, right there at the very end. I mean, there's multiple times it happened at the very end, but it happened one time in the middle of the presser is he just completely disagrees with his head coach. I mean, it's not about, you know, it is, I mean, he just simply said it right there. It is pre-snap communication. It is communication and then carrying that communication over. It's not all post-snap. And D'Amico matter-of-factly said, no, it's not about the communication. It's about executing what you're coached to do after the snap. And so, again, this is a bad offense. The head coach who is yes, he's a play caller by nature, but he has been overseeing this offense and the offensive side of the football since OTAs, and he's still not on the same page with your quarterback as it pertains to the very basic general football 101 communications when you're talking.
And has no, and not even afraid to try to act like it's not.
Yeah. The questions are framed in a way of like your head coach said this. You could very easily say, yeah, he's right, and just keep it moving. But CJ clearly has no problem saying, well, no, I disagree with that. That's not necessarily what I'm seeing. So, yeah, it's I think that is not surprising. Not the first time we've heard it.
Yeah, it's been something we've been hearing lately.
I do think it is a peek behind the curtain of really what's going on in that building over there. CJ can't hide the frustration that exists right now, and he shouldn't be able to. as the quarterback has got to go out there and take a beating every week, and then you got to hear these oh, the players just got to execute better approaches after being parts of offenses that were successful. I would imagine it's very, very, very frustrating, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A couple of times there, yeah, it seemed like they were as we've been hearing throughout the year on different pages of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's not good.
It's odd, right. Like we heard D'Amico and CJ say they watch film every week together, and they come out of watching film every week together, and they're on different pages.
Well, we've all been, and I'm not saying this is the case, but we've all been in relationships with bosses, with coaches, with teammates, where you're in that meeting.
Yeah,
but are you really in that meeting? Like, are we in this meeting to get something accomplished? To make progress? To get on the same page? To figure things out? Or are we in that meeting because somebody called that meeting?
Have at it, boss.
Yeah, boss, I'm here. Yes, sir, I'm awake. Yep, I got you. Yep, you betcha. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so I like if that is going on, which, by the way, it doesn't seem like it's going on. If it is going on, it doesn't seem like it is a group effort, a collaborative effort that all parties are bought in.
Yep. Let's see Nick Kaler. Let's see if he can give us the offensive identity tomorrow.
Well, it's getting rough, today. Boys.
All right, what you got coming up?
All right, kind of on that same note, right? This is precisely where and why I think the Texans are in trouble, and I am out on this offense. From D'Amico Ryan's mouth, that is next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.